Welcome back. I'm John Bullock, sitting in for Mark Steiner, and you're listening to The Mark Steiner Show, here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. With us in the studio, Philip Royston Burgess, director of Save Our Streets Spoken Art Slam. Thanks for coming.
Hey, how's it going, John?
And Dominique Butler, also in the studio, one of the primary student performers in Save Our Streets.
Thank you for having me.
Look, let's just get right into it. I mean, looking about Saving Our Streets is such a very interesting project. Can you talk a little bit about why you're doing this and also the way that it's going to take place?
Yes. So Saving Our Streets Spoken Art Slam was inspired actually by a senior project of one of our theater majors last year. She had developed a one-woman show that was presented in guerrilla theater form fashion. And it also happened right around the time of the student uprising on the day that Freddie Gray was buried. I was inspired as an artist just by the art that could potentially come from the uprising itself, because I come from the school that life imitates art and vice versa to a certain extent. So I pitched to Professor Dunlap that we take our traditional theater format and just throw it in the trash can for a minute and just take the theater to the streets, because I think it's one thing to sell tickets to a show and to an event and to have people to come to Murphy Fine Arts and put on a pretty show, but I don't think it's the time for that. I think it's time for us to take a different approach to theater, to use the art to speak to the people and speak to them in language that they can understand. So the Spoken Art Slam, the concept is this. I have compiled a group of artists, African drummers, actors, dancers, singers, and spoken word artists. And we are going to meet in Murphy Fine Arts on this Friday. And they are going to listen to a panel of speakers of native Baltimoreans. And most of them are my friends. Because I grew up in West Baltimore. I actually grew up in the Warbrook Junction community. And I just asked my friends who have grown up here, who have seen the city evolve into what it has evolved into, and to just tell their story, how they grew up, where they grew up, what they have seen the city become, and just to basically speak their truth. And their words will be used as a muse for the artist to create a show literally overnight. So I have a group of writers and artists that we're going to collaborate. We don't have anything right now. It's a blank slate. But by Saturday morning, I promise you, we're going to have a show, and we're going to take it to the streets of Baltimore.
Absolutely. So Dominique, I mean, I thought it was very interesting. Phillip's mentioning that this idea came from a student, and now you're one of the student performers. How do you engage in this work, and why is it so important for you, but also think about the role that young people like yourself are going to be playing in terms of giving this voice in terms of performance?
Well, I love writing, but I think it's important for students to come together on an important cause like this. A lot of students, they have something to say about the issue, but they're afraid to say it. And I feel like this push will really bring everyone together to, okay, this is, let's sit down, let's write, let's talk about how we feel first. How do we feel about this? How does this make us feel? Let's look at this picture. How do we get off of this image? Okay, now write it down, sing it down, act it out, dance. I think it's really important that we just give our art, let our art speak for itself. And as a student, being involved during this time, or just seeing everything that's going on in society, especially with young students or young people getting murdered, unarmed people getting murdered, I feel like, you know, that also says something. It doesn't matter what age it is. It can happen to you. It can happen to a 5-year-old boy. It can happen to a 3-year-old girl. It doesn't matter what age it is. It's an issue that needs to be recognized and spoken up about.
And that's the great thing about art, that it provides that avenue to really be able to talk about these issues in a really direct fashion.
Absolutely.
But one thing you were saying, and I thought it was very very poignant, is about taking this to the streets, right?
Yes.
But you're also talking about connecting with people through their lived experience.
Absolutely.
I think that is absolutely wonderful. So how did you identify some of the people that you're dealing with, and also thinking about some of the places you're going? I mean, so these are, when you talk about the community and taking the streets, you're really literally taking it to the streets.
Yeah, absolutely. We basically this project It just proves the power of networking, because basically what I did was pick up the phone and I called. I have some visual artist friends that are attached to this. I have, just the primary form of speakers that are going to be speaking. The kids that I went to school with, high school, retired police officers. Just regular people. I really wasn't looking for any big names because we need to identify with those people that are living in Sandtown day to day, that are living in Walbrook Junction, that are living in these neighborhoods, that are dealing with murders on a day to day basis. Because though this was inspired by the atrocity that occurred in Sandtown with the police and Freddie Gray, it's bigger than police brutality. We have to look at the murder rate, which I think is teetering right around 240 right now. Right. The police didn't do that. You know, we have to address the fact that a lot of this stuff that we are perpetuating is being perpetuated against one another, and we have to address that, because I grew up in a community of Baltimore where we took care of one another, we looked out for one another, we didn't go up against one another in the fashion that these people now, this new generation of Baltimoreans, where neighbors aren't getting along, where it's been a cycle that's perpetuated, and I think it needs to be addressed. And the only way that we can address it is to take it to them, not to sell tickets.
Exactly.
Not to sell tickets, because anybody who's ever promoted an event, promoted a show, that's a challenge to get people to come out of their comfort zones. Mm-hmm. And then come to a theater, come to a place that they've never really gone to before. So we're gonna make it convenient for them, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. We're gonna bring it right to them. They don't have to buy any. They don't have to buy a ticket. All they have to do is basically walk a couple of blocks up the street, and it's gonna be right there for them to enjoy.
Right. It makes it accessible, but also one of the things I'm getting from this, and you're talking about community responsibility, so that self-examination
yes.
that comes, and art is really a great way to do that that type of examination. One of the things that you, and it's sort of implicit in some things you mentioned, but I know the term, I'm looking at the flyer and talked about guerrilla theater at its best.
Yeah,
so both of you, I mean, let's unpack that a little bit in terms of guerrilla theater. Can you talk about that, both of you? Yeah.
It's a push. It's not your typical production where we ask for tickets or we're asking for you to come see us present our spoken art. No, we're going to push our way to you so you can hear what we have to say. We're going to make sure that you hear what we have to say. So we're bringing it to you. We're not asking for your money. We're just asking for you to simply hear us out.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it the best way possible.
Yeah.
We're not going to disrespect you. We're not going to smash your windows. We're not going to get in front of your face and force you to listen to us. It's still your option.
That's right.
At the end of the day, you still have the decision. Am I going to stand here and watch what these students, what these artists have to say, or am I going to go inside and do what I always do, watch the news and don't do anything about it, see a person get killed right in front of the street and don't say anything, or think that it's acceptable, think that it's okay? You know, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
So basically, you'll be holding up a mirror in many ways.
Exactly.
Which is so important.
And that's what guerrilla theater, for me, when I think guerrilla, I think guerrilla warfare.
Uh-huh.
And this is a war that we're in. This thing called life, it's a war. And my understanding of guerrilla theater is, or guerrilla warfare, that is that I have to understand the dynamics of the territory that I'm in, if that makes sense. So we're not going to have this big elaborate set. It's doing the best that you can possibly do with the least amount of tools. It's all about the resources within us, within the gift that's within us, that we can now take out to the streets and share it with the people in languages that they can understand.
And you have to really be able to react in the moment, right? Because think about your process, right?
Yes,
I mean,
sir.
These performances are not scripted. I mean, so as a performer, I mean, how do you deal with that?
As a performer, definitely I feed off of my audience. When I perform, I definitely think, okay, my goal is to send the message. But at the end of the day, if my audience isn't receiving, or if I feel like they're not responding how I want them to respond, then I'm going to send out more. But one thing that I really like about this project is that we're, we don't, we, I, We're not looking to see how you respond, because sometimes the most silent people have the most to say, or they're receiving the most. But we're really just giving it our all, pushing it out. Mm-hmm. So honestly, it really, we're not looking for a response. We're looking to be heard.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And looking to be heard, we'd like to hear you as well. And I know you're a performer, so it shouldn't be too much being on the spot. But we'd like to hear some, give people an idea of what we'd be dealing with in this type of performance. So,
okay.
Dominique Butler.
The sweetest thing I ever known was like a kiss on a collarbone. A soft caress of happiness. I wonder how the world would be if humans never killed. I wonder how the world would be if humans never killed. Because I once too killed the soul because my insecurities took the best of me. Blinded to be something that isn't me, a cry for help eternally. We scream to be seen, but it seems that we have to kill all our means for more power. I wonder, just wonder, if we touched our pool of blood while actually touching it, would it melt our hearts enough to not kill another? Maybe, just maybe. If we saw a blur instead of an image, we would not be so quick to pull the trigger from a gun. I am imagining that I can hear your inner being and not the visuals or vocals that you reveal to the universe to gravitate on, but your spirit. I can feel your spirit. So I can't possibly do what I believe is best to do because society painted an image that murder is acceptable. My authorities are choosy to me, or it seems. I wonder how life would be if humans never killed off my dreams, never killed off my existence, my flesh, my being. We love and kill because of it, never actually understanding its meaning. When it doesn't turn out how you want it to be and it hurts so bad, why do we kill instead of appeal for a turnaround? Would it calm my deranged mind or give me a reason to find that murder would be acceptable? A nation that is united but divided, a world that was pieced together but separate. I wonder how it would feel if humans never killed. The sweetest thing I ever known.
Awesome. You know, wow. You know, that, again, just thinking about what you were just talking about, violence in our communities and sort of, you know, how we deal with that. And what I got from your performance also is it's very spiritual as well. So we're looking about different modes of communication. We're talking about song. We're talking about theater. We're talking about dance. Yes. And one of the things that I know is part of this is really being inspired by Baltimore, but also telling these stories about where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. So just think about it from this perspective. Where do you see not only this project going, but how this relates to what's happening in our city?
Well, I think, you know, as an educator and as an artist, I think outside the box at all times. And again, I believe that this thing could take off and in a way that we've never seen it before. It could be a nationwide, if not international, movement in terms of theater and how we present theater. We have to stop making it this pretty thing where we build sets and rehearse and just practice. It has to be an authentic reaction to what's going on in our communities. I think theater should speak to that. I think theater should be the voice of the people, as opposed to, you know, we have to get out of being entertained all the time. You know, we could turn on the TV every day and be entertained, but I think it's one thing to be educated as well as be entertained, because that's the key to us transcending this trend of violence and just treating you in a fashion that I treat you in because I saw it on TV. This is the way I deal with it. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? So I think that if we can bring another message, a different message, an alternative message to the people, and in language that they can understand, not something that's highbrow and over your head, but it is going to be right there where you live. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the trend that we need to go in theater.
Absolutely. You have to use the term authentic.
Yes.
And I think it's also useful to talk about this almost division we've seen, or at least separation between the people and the art, and it seemed to be removed. And I think you're trying to bring that back. I did want to talk to Dominique about this. So, as someone who is studying, you know, this art form, and may wind up teaching it at some point, how is this is this what you expected when you got to Morgan? Put it that way, did you expect to have theater that was going to be connected like this, or did you expect it to be this this distinction? And now, going forward, how do you see this?
I didn't see theater to be so connected. As this one thing that I learned as a student at Morgan, as a theater art student at Morgan, is that theater is life. It's not just an elaborate set that you put up. It's not the costumes. It's when you walk outside of your door and you smell something, or you see a person is sad or they're going through something. That's theater. That's a form of theater. It's everything. And as a theater arts instructor, I would definitely tell my my students that it's not all about the performance. It's how you feel. It's how your audience feels, and it's what you're saying at the end of the day. Because it's not about the lights. It's not about you. It's about what you're putting out.
Now you guys can't see it, but if you could only see Philip and Aries cheering, and I know what it is when you're an educator and you see you know, these young people get it, and they're pushing the envelope forward.
Yes.
I mean, I know you're so proud, and we're so proud of you, because, again, it's really with our young people. And again, if we can have this message and pushing this forward to future generations, it's so key to what we're doing.
Absolutely, and it's transcending university education. We are involving community people. I've invited people from the streets, you know, to come and be a part of this process. Spoken word art is not just about Theater Morgan. It's about Theater Morgan being able to connect to Baltimore. Because Morgan, this is, even though I didn't graduate from Morgan State, this is where my university education began as a true freshman at Morgan State in 1984. And so I get it. I get the fact that Morgan is weaved into the culture of Baltimore, but I think sometimes when we look at it from an educational perspective, we are a separate entity, if that makes sense. And I think we need to be more involved with what's going on in the city, and I think the theater is a great segue to that.
Absolutely. I mean, breaking down the walls between the university, any university in the city. And so one of the things I try to do, even as a professor over at Towson, I want to bring my students into the city.
Absolutely.
And being that you're in the city, again, getting people involved in the life of the city.
Yes.
Has this been part of your growing process, I would say?
Yes, most definitely. I think more so being involved in community service around Baltimore City, I noticed that the residents, they have a cry. They have a cry that they're not really getting out. And you walk around on the streets and you look at them and they have a story, but they're afraid to tell that story. And if we can help tell that story for them, then that would be wonderful.
Yes.
And really watching residents in the Baltimore community, they have inspired me to be the person that I am today. Thankfully, I've grown up in a very blessed, prosperous household. However, when I look at someone who would need more than I currently have, that affects me, that I want to help. And it really makes me look at myself in the mirror like, wow, you are really blessed. Be thankful. Be thankful for, you know, waking up in the morning. Be thankful that you have legs. You know, help somebody. It's important. I think we're so focused on ourselves sometimes that we fail to realize that it's more out there to pay attention to. It's there are stories out there that are more effective than, you know, the little problems that we're going through each day.
Right. And you mentioned everyone has a story, and, you know, and sort of to kind of bring us back to where we began, you know, you were talking about the unrest that happened in April.
Yes.
And so one of the things that, you know, people sometimes forget about Dr. King talked about a riot being the language of the unheard.
Yes.
And so clearly there were some stories that were not being heard over
Absolutely.
Time. And so I know that you'll be at Morgan, you'll be in Walbert, but you're going to be over at Pennsylvania North. Talk about why you see it as important to be at that location to be doing this piece.
Because that's where it all began. Mm-hmm. For me, the inspiration began when I turned on the television and I saw young people, students, that were just tired of their everyday existence. They were tired of the police officers always dictating, you know, well, this is what you're going to do. They were tired. Most of these kids probably never saw Freddie Gray a day in their lives, but they understood Freddie Gray's struggle because they are a part of that same community that they have to deal with every day. Those same issues that Freddie was dealing with, they are now having to deal with on a day-to-day basis as high school students. These kids are dealing with challenges that I never had to deal with when I was a high school student here in Baltimore at Walbrook. They are faced with an uphill struggle, and I believe that we can help to inspire. If we can inspire one of those students that was involved in the uprising by being on Northern Pennsylvania when they are on their way home from school, when they're walking down the street, when the people that were there, when the city burned, those same people are I guarantee you they're standing on that same intersection right now as we speak. So what better way to reconnect and refocus than to go where it all began and just give them hope through our message?
And I just want to say, as a student, we have questions. We have lots of questions. We see and we respond to it. And I actually mentored at a middle school in Baltimore, and the students there, they write a lot, and they write what they see.
Yes.
And surprisingly, a lot of the students have something to say about the murders or the deaths that were happening in Baltimore and around the country, and they had questions. And that's why I really think it's important that we're getting a group of students, not only students, but adults and local artists around the community as well. But we're all coming together, you know, discussing, having a discussion about what's going on first. I think that's important. And writing our questions that we have and creating that into a form of art.
Mm-hmm. You know, people often forget how much we internalize from our environment, especially
yes.
where young people and whether they're journaling or whether they're getting an artistic outlet.
Yes.
We look at some of the art being cut in schools, and we know that theater and dance and all these are ways that we express ourselves.
Yes, that's absolutely right. I tell people all the time, Baltimore made me who I am. Okay, the streets of Baltimore made me who I am. And not just that, but the education I received here in Baltimore made me who I am. I was given an opportunity because I was a problem child, just for lack of a better description, coming up. And the arts literally saved me. When a teacher decided to put me up on stage and express myself as opposed to just acting out in a classroom, that gave me a channel to feed my soul. And because there's so many cuts in the arts and it's just we're not looked at as the savior of education, but actually we're the catalyst of education because it's not just about STEM. And we need to understand that without the arts, we can't be expressive in our approaches to science and math and engineering, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I mean, these are central parts to education.
Yes.
We have to recognize that. Look, I just really appreciate the work you're doing. You're talking about, you know, about saving the city. We're also thinking about saving lives. We're also
yes.
thinking about the opportunity for people to actually express what's going on in their
yes.
communities. And so I definitely want to talk about, you know, your project. Again, I think it's important. So, again, Saving Our Streets, Spoken Art Slam. You want to talk about some of the dates there?
Yeah. So Saving Our Streets, Spoken Art Slam. Again, it's going to kick off here at Murphy on Friday night where we will actually create the show. The very next day, we're going to premiere the show on September 26th at the Why Not Lot at the intersection of North Avenue and Charles Street. We will then transition on the 2nd to Morgan here at Morgan State University, where we will do a snippet of what we put together for the Imagining America conference, and that'll take place here at the amphitheater on Argonne Drive. Then we're going to the hood, my old hood, Walbrook Junction, on October the 10th at 5 p.m. And the finale, the grand finale, is going to take place where it all began for me, where it was all inspired, on Pennsylvania North Avenue at 5 o'clock.
Absolutely.
And that's actually, I want to invite all alumni out to that particular performance because it is the beginning of homecoming weekend here at Morgan State. So if you all could come out, 5 o'clock rush hour, if you have a challenge with parking or whatever, catch the subway because you can just jump off the subway and you'll be right there.
Look, well, we thank you so much, and please stay tuned. This is an awesome movement that's happening. Definitely want to thank our guests for being here, Philip Royston Burgess, and again, Dominique Butler. We thank you
so much for your time.
So, again, I'm John Bullock. I'm sitting here for Mark Steiner, and you're listening to The Mark Steiner Show here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We have to take a brief break, but don't go away. We'll be right back.